Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about more about worship. We started last week. By the way, visitors, how many visitors do we have today? Raise your hand if you have. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just raise your hand. It would be my honor for you to come and join us in the meal today on me. Raise your hand. Say, I'll be there. I'm coming to eat.
Yeah,
say, I yeah. The Marine said, yeah, I'll be there. Great. Really, all visitors, I'd like for you to come and just tell them you're a visitor and just tell them, Pastor's got this. He's got this. Now, I want all of our church folk to remain honest. Don't be going down there. You remember been 20 years and you say, I know. Pastor said he's got mine. I'm messing with you. I want you to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. I want to talk to you a little bit about worship, continue a little bit about worship. How many of you know that, that the Bible says that he teaches my hands to war? How many of you know about that? He teaches my hands to war. How many of you also know that we do not war as in the spirit, in the as Christians, in our Christian walk, we do not war physically. We war spiritually, right? Now, there are physical wars that we have to enter into, right? Yeah, that's what these men are doing. They're putting their life on the line to be able to make sure that this country stays free, not just safe, but free. They're actually freedom fighters, you know. But Bible says that he teaches my hand to war. And you'll begin to understand as we go into some of this that he teaches us the warfare of things spiritually. And some of those, how many of you noticed that a lot of people did this during worship? Everybody just do this. Now, wave at me. Just do this right here. Just do this. See, the Bible talks about with uplifted hands. You know, it's an act of surrender. Yeah. These soldiers know what surrender they, and these guys don't surrender. They keep coming, but they surrender their heart to God. So in this act, you're worshiping God by saying, I lift my hands to you. My heart is in a surrendered place to you. That's part of your worship. Amen. That's not, this is my worship today. No, that's just part of your worship. And and how many of you know that we did this? Everybody do this with me. Don't get me started. All right, see now the Bible says to clap your hands, you people. Because why? Because we are making the noise. See, the enemy hates us to clap and to praise him. He just hates it. I like doing things the enemy hates. I like to just make him upset. Really, I like to bother him. you with me? But it's only because of God that I can. Can't do it on my own. But it's because of God's presence. And I acknowledge God's presence and I can clap my hands and worship. That's part of my worship. Right? I can do this and I can use my hands and do this. What do you think that means? If I'm doing this or you doing this, it's like, what is that posture?
Surrender.
This is surrender. I was taught when I was in church, you don't raise your hands. And then I got into a church that did, and then I sort of went half mass. Yeah. And then eventually I really got free with my worship and I went full sail, you know. But see, this thing about receiving, see, you walk, you're teaching me how to receive from you. And then the Bible tells us to lay hands on people. That's a part of our, he teaches our hands to war. He said, lay hands on the sick. Yes. Teaches my hands to war. What am I warring against? I'm warring against disease.
Yes.
It's not people. The warfare is against the disease. The warfare is against the sickness. He said, lay hands on them. And he said, and they shall what? They shall recover. Here's the thing about it. Do you believe? Do you believe that he will heal? Do you believe that he will heal through you? Do you believe he will deliver? Do you think that's happening? And the honest to God truth is that yes, he does that. He's looking for people to experience his teaching. He's looking for people to, after we've been taught, to be able to go and do. There's no need for this Marine nor this soldier in the Army to go through basic training and then just go sit down. What are they going to use? They're going to use what they were trained to do. Amen. And really, God is teaching us how to worship in ways that we've not experienced before. Over in Genesis. See, we sort of surrender and take worship and sort of reduce it down to song service. Now you've heard me some mention that before, and other people as well. But see, song, I love the song service. Don't you? They learn new songs, and see, but you have to understand they're worshiping. They're not performing. Amen. They're worshiping. They can't lead you into worship. You have to lead yourself into worship while they're worshiping. Y'all with me? You know, because they can't cause you to worship. So it can't be just a song. It is music. It is the drums, the guitar, it's all of that. We got war in churches that fight over instruments in a church. Instruments. That shouldn't be. Why? Because David created, I can't tell you how many, all I know is that the Bible says that he hired 4,000 musicians. Listen, he hired 4,000 musicians to play inside the tabernacle of David when the Ark of God came back to Jerusalem. When the presence of God came back to Jerusalem, he put it in the tent, tabernacle of David, and he hired 4,000 musicians. Each one, the Bible says, each one of them playing instruments that David made. Playing that David made. Why? David was a worshiper. You know, Pastor Charlie said something about our worship impacting people. When our worship becomes free to him, it's a freedom that we give to him. He said, Pastor Charlie said, it will impact people. Yes? But you know what that means? It means that you can't do it just inside this building. You with me? How do we know it impacts people? I can tell you how, because it's in the Bible. David was a worshiper, and he was a young lad, and he was called to by his father to go give supplies to his brothers who were in the army of Israel. David's a worshiper. He's a little old ruddy teenager. But he's a worshiper. He's been worshiping God alone on a hillside tending sheep. He's just a little sheep shepherd guy. But his father calls upon him and says, look, you need to take this to your brothers. Take these supplies to your brothers. And he takes the supplies to the brothers. And when he gets there, he hears this strange noise. And it's this 9-foot something dude, two axe handles broad. And he's defiling God. And he's mocking the people of God. The king is there, he's the commander in battle, and he's offered reward. He said, he's bribing the soldiers. Man, I'll give you this if you go shut that man up. I'll give you this because Goliath is setting out a challenge to anybody. Just come. Just come and take. Just come fight me. But he didn't do that. None of them did that, even though he offered them a lot of money. A lot of things in the kingdom he offered them. David shows up, but he doesn't show up as a warrior. He shows up as a worshiper. He shows up as a worshiper that is serving. You got to hear this. He shows up a worshiper that is serving. And in the midst of his service, there's something that's stirring inside him because the God that he worships is being talked about, being defiled. So he said, I'll go. Because he tells his brother, he tells the army, is there not a cause? Come on, guys, is there not a cause? Is there not something? Doesn't this give us cause to go out there and take care of this? Now, they would come out every day and beat their shields and dress up for battle and all this kind of stuff and make a lot of noise. But that noise wasn't joyful to the Lord. It was noise. Why? Because it really didn't mean anything. They was trying to psych themselves up. This time we're going to do it. We're going to go do it. This time we're going to go. This time. And then he comes out 9 foot something and yells out. And they see the size of him. And the Bible says that they run back and get in their holes. Let me tell you what happened when a worshiper came on the scene. Not a warrior, a worshiper. A worshiper came on the scene. What happened then? I'll go. I'm going. And they want to suit him up like what they look like. It doesn't fit him. What fits him? Worship. Worship fits him. So he steps out to be seen. Goliath, the giant, begins to taunt him. Am I a dog that you would come to me with a stick? And he begins to badmouth David. David's a young teenager. He's a worshiper of God. But the God that he's worshiping is being defiled in the language of the flesh, in the language of the enemy, being defiled. David wonders, is there not a cause to go do something about this? So he steps out and he starts talking about David. Man, you think I'm a dog? And he said, matter of fact, he told him, he said, come on. That's what the giant said, come on. I will feed you this day to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. I will feed the birds and the beast with you. Now it stops being against Israel, and that starts being against David. Now it got personal. What did the worshiper do? He began to rise up. He reached down, and Bible said that he choked. He didn't just pick up. Yeah, this amazes me. He just don't reach down and pick up a handful of rocks, and it happens to be five. The Bible says that he chose five stones. Because he knew Goliath had four more brothers. One for each of you. So he's got a choice in his he's got a choice he's making. And he reaches down and he gets the five smooth stones and he says, hey, you come with me with all this javelin, all this artillery that you bring. But guess what? I'm going to feed you. This is who is he? A little old teenage boy, a little old worshiper. I'm going to feed you to the fowl of the air and to all the beasts. I'm going to feed you. Now, how many of you know between a teenage and a 9-foot dude, there's a difference in the meal. He's going to feed a whole lot more than what Goliath would have fed. So he begins, he said, you come to me with the javelin and all. He said, but I'm coming. Does anybody remember how he's coming? The Lord of hosts. He's coming. You have to understand, he still is a worshiper. How do we know that? He's coming in the name of the Lord. He's a worshiper. And the Bible said that once he got the stone and once he made the declaration that he didn't just casually stroll up to him, the Bible says he ran with haste to engage in the battle. He done made his decision. And the Bible said that he did the sling thing. And about, he didn't, somebody said, well, he just hit him right between the eyes. And I said, well, that ain't what the Bible says. Let me tell you what the Bible says. It said the rock that he slung sunk into his, it didn't bounce. The Bible says it sunk into his forehead. It penetrated his skull, broke his skull, and went into the brain and sunk into, and here the giant goes. David don't even have a sword. He goes up, takes the enemy's sword, cuts his head off, holds it up. Who's doing the feeding? A little teenage boy who is a worshiper, who became a warrior. Well, we all want to be spiritual in the spirit. We all want to be warriors, don't we? Let me at that devil. My Bible sort of teaches me before I become a warrior, I need to be a worshiper. Because you know what happened when this happened? The Bible said that Israel and Judah rose up and started pursuing what? Hey, the ones that was hiding in the holes, all of a sudden, a worshiper comes on scene and shows how it's done as a worshiper. Why? He's got full confidence in the ability of his God over any kind of circumstance that he's currently facing. A worshiper will continue to go, continue to move forward. Why? Because they know they have full confidence in God and God's ability to take care of any 9-foot anything. It won't matter to him. But Israel rose up and started pursuing the enemy, and it said they plundered. Listen to me. People will say, well, it's because he killed the biggest. See, Goliath was the champion, and he took the champion out. Now that's one good thing that Israel saw, but they also saw how it was done with a worshiper. So it got them. So your worship will get other people out of holes that they're hiding in when they see real worship. That is unafraid of anything. The fear of man, the fear of what anybody can do to you, when they see worship as it truly is, it will inspire other people to join in. To Charlie, you had a good word. That was a real good word. It really was. Wasn't part of my message, but it was a good word, but it inspired me to say it. Why? Because God has his ways of saying, look, I want the people to know that their worship will impact. Their worship is for him. Our worship is for him. It's not for anybody else. It's for him. Everything we do in worship is for him. Every beat of the drum, every strum of the instruments, every playing on the piano, everything that we do, and every clap, every lift of hand, every lift of our voice, it's all for him. Listen. This is not the center of this church. The pulpit is not the center of the church. His throne is. He's the one. If he's left out, this becomes nothing but man's mouthpiece, saying what man wants to say, controlling people, manipulating people. But when God is feeding this, when his throne, his presence is on this, and he's going to make his presence be known among his people. So it's not this, it's the throne of God. Amen. Who he is. Did y'all find Genesis? Have we said anything about Genesis yet? I want you to be able to step out of the box of music. You're not leaving it. It's still with you. But I want you to understand worship as your lifestyle and not as an event. Well, that's what we do every Sunday. Well, we've got it wrong. If that's just what we do every Sunday. If that's the only time we ever do it, we're wrong. If it was about the music, no, don't get me wrong, the music is a huge vital part of it, right? It's a piece of it that you come in and you get to use this for your worshiping of him. You remember the time when the storm came and the disciples were in it and they were just like, just all over the place, you know, and they're fearing for their life and all that, and then he don't come boating up. He comes walking up. And he's walking on the water. Waves are raging, and they're just doing like this, but he's steady and still. They think it's a ghost. Wow, man. Ah, ah. And he said, "Don't be afraid. It's me." In the midst of, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter said, "I'll tell you what, if that's you, you tell me to get out, you tell me to come over there." I love Peter, I really do. "Yeah, if that's you, you tell me to get over, you tell me to come over there." And Jesus says, come on. Peter steps out of the boat, begins to walk on water. What's he focusing on? He's focusing on Jesus and he's walking. What's he walking on? No. He's walking on the word that Jesus gave him, which caused him to walk on the water. They give Peter a hard time because he started sinking. "Well, I didn't see none of these other dudes get out." Peter gets a hard time because he starts sinking. Well, the rest of them sitting in the boat. He was the one willing to say, "If that's you, tell me to come on." And he comes and he takes his eyes off the Lord and he begins to focus on the circumstances. So his worship, watch this, his focus of who Jesus is and the word that he gave him, the promise that he gave him, becomes little in comparison to the storm. When we have storms all in our life, when we begin to not focus on Jesus and not focus on his promises that he gave us, our worship becomes minimized. He gets in the boat. He gets him up and they all get in the boat. And the Bible says that they all worship. They all worshiped in the boat. Well, Charlie, you think they had a set of drums in there, a guitar or anything in the boat? No, they didn't have that. But the Bible says they worshiped. Are you with me? See, the point is, you don't have to have music to worship. You get the opportunity to worship with music. But if you got that song by Matt Redman? Yes, no. Yes, can we put it up here? Yes. Did y'all find Genesis? Don't lose Genesis. Charlie, come up. Can you lead us here without music? Sure. You may find a key if you need to.
When the music
come on up here. Come on. Stand up. Stand up, everybody. Start all over. Start all over. Now listen. Listen. You know you're in a good place when you can start a song and all of a sudden, blah, 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 so start all over. Start all over. Why? That's family. It doesn't have to be so polished that we got to miss him. Okay? Sing.
And I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
Sing it loud.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
So I like that part where it says, you know, you can be seated. I'm bringing more than a song because the song is not what you've required. Because you can bring a song and not bring worship. You can bring a performance that'll knock the socks off the world, but it won't be worship. See, the history of this song, this Matt Redman was at a church at the time. They were booming. They were on top of things. They were making songs like never before. And all of a sudden, they began to feel the pulse of what they were doing and understood. Somehow, they lost their way of worship. They had the ability to create songs, but they started examining their heart. The reason Genesis is so good here is where Abraham got a word from God. God told Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one that you love, and I want you to take him to this place, and I want you to sacrifice your son to me. What's that got to do with worship? The Bible says that Abraham rose up early the next morning. That's part of it. He heard God, and then the Bible says he rose up early the next morning, saddled his donkey, and took two young men with him, and Isaac, his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place which God had told him. You're about to see worship in a different way. He goes on and said, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place at a distance where God had told him. Abraham said to the young men, stay here, who was with him, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go over there, that's where God told him to go, and we will worship and return to you. We will what? What was he about to go do? Come on now. What was he about to go do? He was about to sacrifice the only son that he had, the son of promise, the only son. You begin to see that he says, okay, Y'all stay here. Me and the lad is going to go to this place where God told me. And we're going to go worship. And we'll be right back. The Bible says he goes on and he takes the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took his hand, he took and in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two went and walked on together. What are you seeing? You're seeing worship. He took the wood and he went on and he said the two walked together. And Isaac said, his son spoke to his father and said, "Father, my father." He said, "I'm here, son. Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said this, "God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son." And the two of them walked on together and they came to the place of which God told him. He's still worshiping. He arranged the wood, bound up his son. Laid him on top of the wood. The Bible says that he reached in and his hand and took the knife. To slay his son. Let me ask you something. What is he doing? He's worshiping God. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Now, that's a bad time not to hear God. You need to be listening to hear God all the time. Amen. The angel of the Lord came to him, called to him from heaven, said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And then the Bible said that he looked over and he saw this ram. He was stuck in the thicket. And he said, "This place shall be called Jehovah Jireh. God will provide." When you hold things closer to you than you, the closeness of God, then you're not able to worship to the fullness that he's asking you to. If you're exalting something higher than he is, you won't be able to worship. Doesn't matter about your songs. It's about the heart. You remember Jesus said, "I hear their lips, I see their lips, and I hear their worship, but it's in vain." Why is it vain? Why is it empty? Because the heart is not connected to him. Our heart to follow God. See, part of worship is to serve. Part of worship is to have an obedient heart in such a way that you will do what God's asking you to do. So the trail up that mountain was worship. Why? Because God said. So he will search our hearts, just like this song said. He'll search our hearts to be able to show us exactly what we're holding on to, exactly what we're trying to keep and exalt higher than who God really is. Because if you're esteeming something much, much higher than who God is, then it's a form of idolatry. And you can't worship God. So our worship has to go far beyond 10:30 and 11 o'clock on Sunday. I love it, don't you? I love it. I love it when the people of God come together and we can do. But see, our worship has to continue in such a way that when we go out these doors, whatever it is that God is asking us to do, we will love him enough and worship him enough to be able to go do it no matter what it is. That's the part that's going to change the people that's out there. It won't be because we can keep key on a song and we can do it well on aisle 4. No, it's not that. But it is the part that you're walking differently. You're talking differently. You're saying things differently. You're acting differently. Why? Because your whole life is worship to God. Not just a part of it, but your whole life is worshiping God. You know you were created to worship? Raise your hand. You're created to worship. Say, I am created to worship. Listen, when the sperm and the egg began to make the contact, that very moment when that connection begins to happen, the first muscle that begins to form is the muscle that's in the ear to hear. I'm telling you. The next one is the eyes. Why is that? He wants you to hear and he wants you to see. You're in the womb, but he wants you to hear. That's the reason when you see all these studies that they play classical music and it helps develop the child's mind and they come out a whole lot smarter than they do listening. Do you know when you're with child and you got big arguments and things are going on in the home, you know the child hears? Listen. They've already proven it. When a father walks in, the mother's here, she's pregnant, she's laying down, the father comes in, and as soon as the baby hears the father, why? That's daddy. It's just his creation. You're created to worship. If you're not worshiping God in your walk, not just in this, but in your walk, you're not doing what you were created to do. I really think we need to just step up our worship, don't you? Yeah. I mean, what the praise team is doing, and I applaud the new song. I mean, it's one of them good old, I loved it. I could be able to celebrate, be able to just worship God in a way that, yeah, I'm dirt, but this dirt ain't my home. Matter of fact, inside this dirt, I've got the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit inside me. See, I love to worship that. I love to worship God in that, but we've got to be able to rise up from where we're sitting, march out these doors, and be able to do and say what it is that God wants us to do and say without fear. Without fear of being persecuted, we will be. Without fear of being talked about, we will be. So if you want to impact people, if you want to really impact people, your worship of following him, no matter where you are, will impact them more than just telling them about religion. You hear me? Do not hold anything higher than God himself. Do you know that your worship is what releases heaven to shower down upon you? Your true worship is what opens portals. It's what opens the resources to be able to let it come down. By the way, there's a place in the Bible that says if they didn't worship right, if they didn't have true worship, that it wouldn't rain. I'm looking at all this rain that we've had, and I'm saying somewhere we got this worship thing that's on the right track. Everybody say, we have not arrived. There's a whole lot more we've got to learn. Stand with me, church. He said, now I know that you will withhold nothing. You will withhold nothing from me. That's what he told Abraham. Are you withholding anything? Are you holding something back in your worship to God? Has he asked you to do something that you haven't done? Has he asked you to stop doing something that you're doing? See, God is wanting the completeness of who we are to be totally given to him. See, that's worship. Going up that mountain, cutting that wood, that's worship. Why? He was being obedient to what God said for him to go do. See, this thing called Christianity is not some some little rinky-dink social club that we can come together, sing a few songs, hear a few words, and go home. It is way beyond that. Amen. He'll tug on our heart to give him exactly what it is. Do you understand that Jesus had a mega ministry? He had thousands of people following him. Thousands. Yes? Man, they would feed 5,000 just in men only. First mega churches, first mega ministry. Right? But you know what he heard the Father say? I want you to give it up. It's time to walk away from what you have to go do something else that I sent you to do. He didn't hold on to it. He followed the Lord in everything that he did. That's what he wants from us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the goodness that you have showered upon us. I thank you, God, that you're teaching us to broaden our worship as a lifestyle and not just be an event. We're grateful for your word. If there is anyone here that you have not accepted Christ in your life, maybe you've played around with religion, maybe, but you just know deep down that you really were not serious and you have not been serious with the call of God on your life and answering the call to come to him and to be born again. Now is your time. Is there anyone here that would like to say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ in my life. I'm here today. I want to receive Christ in my life. Anybody? Okay. All right, we're all brothers and sisters. How many of you would say today, I'm going to increase my worship to God? You're just sort of like, you know, Martha was busy about doing things, and Mary was at his feet worshiping, listening, and worshiping. To bow down, worship. You know what the Bible says? Mary, Martha, you're busy and you're distracted about a lot of things, but only one thing is necessary. He said a few things, but he said really only one. And that's the worship of him. And he said this about Mary. Mary has chosen to do this. This is going to be your choice to broaden your worship and for me to broaden mine. Everybody say, it's my choice. Amen. Well, visitors, I want you to come. I want to feed you today. All you regular members, do not go down there and tell them you're a visitor. But one more time, let's just give God praise and we'll go home. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.